with your speaker, Don McWhorter.
Thank you for joining us for this session of Bible Talk. I want to talk about the importance of last words. Oh, I have a notebook at home where I have jotted down the last words of many, many famous people. And so many times those last words are virtually meaningless. For example, one of the founders of the great circus that we all know, Barnum and Bailey. Barnum's last words were, "What was the gate?" In other words, how much you will make tonight. Of what benefit was that at that time? What could it possibly do? I'm not sure whether this is one or the other. It has been attributed to both men, to Robert Owen and to another well-known atheist. However it be, came down to the last of life, he said, "O God, if there be a God, save my soul, if I have a soul." I believe that was Robert Ingersoll. Others say it was Robert Owen. Doesn't make any difference. They were both prominent men in atheism. I've heard it said many times, no man dies as an atheist, or no atheist ever dies. Because when it comes to that point, if it's only a chance thing, just perhaps there is a God, just perhaps there is an afterlife, where all their lives they have denied vehemently that such things do exist. Every time I step out of the house to go on a mission of some kind, every time we have an opportunity to speak during a long lapse of time, for example, at night in bed, my wife and I always have what we call pillow talk time. We try to talk about things that are pleasant. We try to talk about things that we have done that day that have been meaningful to the cause of Christ and some things that we would want to do the next day. But I make sure that the last word I speak to her before I go to sleep is, "I love you." And I hope when that time comes, she will remember, "Those are my last words." I was with a woman who lost her husband several years ago. I stepped out of the room as he was taking his final breaths. And she came out, and of course, she was crying. But there was also a radiant smile on her face. She said, "It's a wonderful thing." So just before he died, he looked at me and said, "I guess you know that I love you." She said, "We've been married for 56 years, and that's the first time he's ever said, 'I love you.'" "Oh, I know that he did," she said. "But he never said it." Oh, how she holds on to those final words. I want to talk about some final words that are very important, because these words have to do with living the spiritual life. What are the last words of some of the men in the Scriptures? I'm not quite sure, but most believe that the last written words of the Apostle Paul were in those last verses of the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. "I'm now ready to be offered. Time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, not for me only, but for those also who love His coming, His appearance." Those are wonderful words to be spoken at the last. There are many other examples in the Scriptures, but what I want to really talk about is the last words of Christ. If these words of other people mean so much to us, how much more should the last words of Christ mean to us? You know, I get many, many letters. They ask many, many questions. And I get a lot of letters that are constructive criticism and some that are destructive in their criticism. But one question that I receive many, many times, or a statement that I receive, why do you talk so much about baptism? Well, I don't talk any more about baptism, I think, than I do other things that are important. I believe baptism to be a part of the plan of salvation. God says a man must believe, Hebrews 11:6. He must repent of his sins, over in the 13th chapter. We find chapter 10. We must believe in the heart and confess with the mouth that Jesus is the Christ. There is, of course, the importance of not only believing and repenting and confessing, but also being baptized. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," in Mark 16:16. I remember a man who used to live in our town who had a radio program that directly followed my radio program. And he always closed his program by saying, "Jesus said the believer would be saved." And if you have to do something other than that to be saved, Jesus was a liar. You know, when we study the Scriptures, we have to understand some of the rules of study. One of those rules would be, anytime God says something about any matter, there may be more to be said about it, but there can never be less to be said about it. Yes, I mention baptism frequently. God put it in the plan of salvation. And of course, ultimately, what we're hoping for through Bible talk is to see people come into a saving relationship with God, and we can't do it without following God's plan. There are people who say, just like this man did, "Man is saved by faith only." They don't believe that. They believe that you must believe, but in addition to that, you must say a little prayer that admits that you are a sinner and shows your penitence for your sin and asking God to come into your heart and life. And that's not faith alone. When I speak about a lot of other things, though, I do close the program each time by showing what a man must do to be saved. I talk a lot about the home. I've written 2 books on that. I talk a lot about false doctrines and false teachers because they cause so many problems in the world. I do a great deal of speaking about things in the Scriptures that are so important. I talk about not only the home, but the marriage vows that are made in order to make that a home. I talk about the hope of heaven. I could give to you dozens of different topics that I speak about when I'm speaking on Bible talk. But I do say a lot about baptism because God included that in the plan of salvation. No man can deny that. It's there plainly in black and white. But now, as we said as we started our study, we're interested in the last words of men, and sometimes they mean more to us than a lot of other words. Did you know that the last words of Christ were the words commanding men to be baptized? Go preach the gospel to every creature. We have to baptize these people into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Go preach the gospel to all the world. That's Matthew 28:18. That includes every creature. We also see it in Mark 16:16, that every creature, again, must receive the preaching of the Word. And that Word includes baptism. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Last words of Christ. Matthew says so in Matthew 28. Mark says so in Mark 16. Don't you think we should attach some kind of importance to it? Not only Jesus said it, but the last words that He said. I want us to look at what these last words mean to us and what our lives would be like if we understood them and applied them properly. What does it mean for a man who believes that Jesus is the Son of God, John 8:24, has repented of his sins, Luke 13:3, has made the confession that Jesus is God's Son, Romans 10:9-10. What is the significance of being baptized? Well, I want to see from the Bible, make a list of these. Go back and study these verses. Here are some of the things that make that so important. For one thing, this is a picture of the new birth. Jesus said plainly in John 3:5 that without the new birth, no man can go to heaven. Now He says, it is a man who is being born, not a child. Has nothing to do with the water that is shed from a woman when she gives birth to a child. It's a man being baptized. Nicodemus misunderstood that, but Jesus straightened him out quickly. How can a man get back in his mother's womb and be born again? I'm a grown man. He said, no, I'm not talking about that kind of birth. It's not a physical birth. It's a spiritual birth. How does it come about? A man is born of water and the Spirit. I do not know of any man who is a great scholar in words who doesn't believe that this is what the Greek means. Now, they personally may not believe it. But no man would deny that the water in John 3:5 is the water of baptism. And so when I talk about baptism, like Jesus talked about it, I'm talking about the new birth. Oh, how important that is. Remember, it wasn't Don McWhorter, the preacher. It was Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Son of God, who said that without it, a man cannot go to heaven. In addition to the birth that is mentioned here, there is also the fact that this is a witness that we are God's children. Look at the statement made in 1 John 5, verse 8. There are three that bear witness on the earth, the water, the Spirit, and the blood. And these three agree in one. Now, we have only three witnesses, but they all are wrapped up so that only one is there. Now, let me ask you, what else possibly could it be than the fact that the Holy Spirit, speaking through the mouths of inspired men, told them to command people to be baptized in water? It's important. It is a new birth. It is a witness. How does God's witness work? 1 John 5, verse 8. These three agree in one. Where else except in baptism would you find the guidance, the leadership of the Holy Spirit? The water that is physical in nature, and the blood. In no other place do you find them except in Bible baptism. So there's the name. There is the importance. Look at the name. Jesus, in giving the Great Commission, said, go preach the gospel to every creature. Go make disciples of all nations. But He said, baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Is that name important? No other name under heaven given to men by which they can be saved. How could we forget, how could we overlook the importance of a name? There are some names we would not dare give to our children because they carry with them such ugly pictures. But how many people do you know that have named their children after characters that are found here in the Scriptures? You see, we are baptized into the name of Christ. How can we call ourselves Christians? Only if we have been baptized into that name. So there's a birth. There is a witness. There is a name. Also, when we look at what the Bible has to say about baptism, the last words of Jesus Christ, we see that it concerns marching orders. The commission we've just been looking at is the commission given to the church. The church is the army of God. They receive God's marching orders. What are they? Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. Go and make disciples of all nations. What do you do to make disciples of all nations? What do you do when you preach the word to every creature? Well, Jesus didn't beat around the bush. He didn't make it hard to understand. He didn't put it in a footnote or fine print. He said the way you do it, you baptize them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Here is, without doubt, a great importance that is attached to these last words of Jesus Christ. There is a mark. There is a name. There is a birth. There is a marching order. Let's go back and look at that mark that I mentioned just a moment ago. The mark that is given is important. This is what shows that we are children of God. Not to the world so much as to God Himself. Because it's our obedience to the command that God gave us. In Colossians 2:11 and 12, Paul said, being circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. Now, of course, for one to be a Jew, he had to be circumcised. That, God said, was the mark that these were His people. Now we have a circumcision that's going to be made, not in the flesh, but in the heart. And it's God who does the operation. Because He says, we have to be baptized, trusting in the Father that His operation is going to be complete. Read Colossians 2:11 and 12, and you cannot come away with any decision other than that. Buried with Him in baptism, wherein also we are raised with Him through faith in the operation of God. Man who isn't baptized hasn't had the mark. The man who hasn't been baptized has not had his heart operated on by God. The man who is not baptized does not believe what God said. You know, when a man comes to this point and says, well, you may read a lot about it in the Scriptures, but I don't believe that's necessary to salvation. What can you do with a person like that? Without faith, it's impossible to be well-pleasing unto Him. He that cometh to God must believe that He is and that He's the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. This faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Romans 10, verse 17, faith comes of hearing, and hearing of the Word of God. There's another beautiful picture. We see baptism as a marriage of Christ to a human in order that human may be a part of Christ. He is the bridegroom. These people, these human people, are the bride of Christ. Who would deny that the church is referred to as the bride of Christ? Read sometimes the 5th chapter of the book of Ephesians. And when you read that, you'll find so much said about the relationship of husband and wife. But you know, when he gets through with talking about that relationship, he says, "Oh, I know this is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church." So many times Jesus makes reference to things that are human in nature as a means of explaining those things which are spiritual in nature, which otherwise we might not understand. But in this one, he takes something so common as marriage, which is wonderful and beautiful, and it's God-given. But we understand from marriage and all the intricacies that are contained therein. Jesus said, "I speak about this because it is a picture of the life lived in Christ. I speak," he said, "concerning Christ and the church." You know, the church is made up of those people who are saved. In Acts chapter 2, these people who were cut to the heart by the sermon preached by Simon Peter concerning crucifixion of Christ, they knew they were guilty. They cried out to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" They were told, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, in order that you may receive the forgiveness of your sins." They that gladly received the word were baptized. There were added unto them that day some 3,000 souls, and then the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Sit down sometimes and try to clear your mind from all kinds of prejudice. Clear your mind from everything you've ever heard about this and read that sermon. It's the first sermon ever preached under the gospel of Christ. And when you read that Pentecost sermon, you can come to no other conclusion than God makes it an important part of the plan of salvation. Last words of Christ. When we look at them, we see the reenactment of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. There are people who want to make up holidays. And in a secular sense, I see nothing wrong with that. But to make up holidays and impose them upon people as religious holidays, that is wrong. We cannot add to nor take away from what God has given. And God has given us no day as a religious day. They had them in the Old Testament. Sure they did. Colossians 2. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances which was against us, which is contrary to us, he hath taken it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Let no man therefore judge you in respect of meat and drink, of holy days, of new moons, of Sabbath days, which things are a shadow of that which is to come, but the body is of Christ. But you know, there is a place, there is a time, when we do celebrate the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. It's not on a common Friday somebody's picked out. It's not on a Sunday somebody has designated as Easter, a resurrection time. It's in this simple thing we're studying today. Baptism. Paul says in Romans chapter 6, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death. We are buried with Him, therefore, by baptism into death, that Christ was raised up to the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." There we are back to the new birth again, aren't we? John 3, 5. But you see, it's so important that we properly represent and that we properly observe the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That we have to do it in the Bible way and find book, chapter, and verse for it. A man who does not believe that one must be baptized to be saved. And I know a lot of them. I baptized people who have just come to the conclusion, well, that is what that said, and I didn't know that. For years, I didn't believe that. I have competed on the podium before large audiences of people in religious debate, where a man has signed a proposition stating, men are saved from sin before and without water baptism. Anything could be no clearer than the fact that this man does not believe a man should ever or could ever be baptized and have it do anything with his salvation. Think again of the last words of Christ. There is within these words a birth. There is a name. There is a witness. There is a marriage. There is a resurrection from the dead because we have been buried with Him and raised from the dead with Him. Let me say again, that's not all that's involved in salvation. If so, that would be baptismal regeneration. A lot of people believe baptismal regeneration. Take children and baptize them, and that's what saves them. I don't believe that. But I do believe it's a part of God's plan of salvation. Remember, when God says something is necessary, there may be more than that, but there can never be less than that. When He says men must believe, there may be more than that. Cannot ever be less. When God says to a man, you must believe and repent, may be more, but can never be less. Confession, baptism, God adds those as a matter of finishing out this process and can never be less than that. But God says, study the whole subject to find from one point to the next what is next. Remember, friends, it all starts and stops right here. Thank you for viewing.